thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
And this morning, as Pastor Paul said, I really believe God has given me a word to share to us. And it's not linked with Mother's Day, unfortunately. But I really am convinced of the Lord in this. And I want to say from the very front and the very start of this, that I am not here. I am not perfect at this. I am on this process, just as all of us are, of holiness. And so I am not standing up here as a 22-year-old thinking, guys, you just need to get to my level. Absolutely not. I, as taking Paul's words, I am the worst of these. I am on this process just as all of us. And so this morning, please give me grace in that and listen, because God's word is alive and active, and I believe he wants to do something in this beautiful process of holiness. And so my title this morning is this: Be holy in all you do. Be holy in all you do. And if you have your Bible with you, if you would turn to 1 Peter, which is near 1 John, just a couple of chapters back, chapter 1, verse 13, says this, verse 13, "Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, 'Be holy because I am holy.' Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with the perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." Let me pray. Father God, this morning, I pray, would you open our hearts and our minds to your word. I thank you that holiness is not just about gritting our teeth and thinking, how do I just run so far away from sin? But it is a beautiful journey of becoming more like you, Jesus. And I pray that this morning, God, if there is anything of me in this sermon, I pray would it fall on deaf ears. But this morning, Holy Spirit, if there is anything from you in this, I pray would it stick? Would it inspire us? Would it challenge us? Would it change us, God? Would we look more like you, Jesus, as we journey in this beautiful journey of holiness, that one day we would stand before you and you would say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." We love you, Jesus. Be with us, we pray. In your name, amen. Amen. Guys, I have a question. Hands up if you've ever had a part-time job. Put it high, put it really high, really high, right? Really high so everyone can see it. I put my hand up, don't worry, it's nothing weird, I won't call you out, promise you. Keep them high. Now, if you enjoyed a part-time job, put it down. But if you didn't enjoy a part-time job, put it down. But if you did, keep it high. Right. Thank you, that's really interesting. I absolutely hated my part-time job. I was fresh-faced 16. You were probably saying that's last week, JT. Seven years ago, can't remember what age I am. I just got my national insurance number, and I thought, Mum and Dad aren't giving me enough money, so I have to go out and get some money. So I went to a restaurant called Loco, L-O-C-O. It only was open for 6 months and shut. I was there the whole 6 months, so you can blame me if you want. One of my neighbours worked there, was one of the managers there, so she said to me, "Come on, I can get you a job, JT, no problem." So I'm thinking, a waiter, this will be easy, right? Just, you know, I'll just talk to a few people, serve them their drinks, and it'll be grand. But then I got there to the interview. Done my interview, everything was swell. And then the guy goes to me, "Your title is a KP. Has anyone ever heard of a KP? A few of us. So the word KP means kitchen porter. But I was convinced that I was titled the kitchen police, right? The chefs had absolutely sold me down the river thinking I am the kitchen police. So I thought, I'm going to have a field day here. This is going to be so much fun. It's going to be easy. Until that fantasy quite soon wore off. For 8 hours, I was scrubbing dishes, making sure it was clean for the chefs. When I wasn't scrubbing dishes, I was serving tables. When I wasn't serving tables, I was giving people their drinks. You see, I thought, surely this isn't that tough, until it hit me. Actually, my part-time job required a lot of action. And I believe that I say this because sometimes I believe with our relationship with God, this is how we can view it. We can get saved and God does something in our lives, but then we just stand still. There's nothing about us pursues holiness. Rather, we can just sometimes sit in the ignorance, as the Bible says, of our old ways. And so this morning, my first point is this. Holiness, it requires action. Let me say something first before people are like, heretic, right? Salvation is achieved by Jesus alone. It has nothing to do with me. It's nothing to do with you. But rather, salvation, being saved, is all because Jesus decided to look at me, to look at you, see that you are sinful, deserving of wrath, but still loved us enough to come, live a perfect life, go to the cross and die the death we deserved. And because of that death and that resurrection, we are saved. And so salvation doesn't require works from us, but a word called sanctification. Sanctification requires action. If you're like, what's that big word, JT, that you just said, sanctification? Basically means this. It's the process of becoming holy. Or maybe simply, the process of becoming more like Jesus. If we go back to the Bible, 1 Peter again says this in 13 to 15. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. This is important. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who has called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. And so it actually does, for us who are saved and trying to pursue a life after Jesus, it does require action, because we are called to be obedient children and not people that just conforms to the things that are so easy to conform to. But rather, we are meant to start here, be saved, and then just pursue a life of holiness in everything we do. We're called to break off the things that held us, the addiction, the pain, the friendship groups, the things that has gripped us before we knew him or as we've knew them. We're called to break it off and not live in the ignorance that we used to. And that requires action. You see, in this room, in this space, if you confess and if I confess to loving Jesus, yet our lives are so filled with just fulfilling our desires and our wants, then we're not pursuing holiness. Sanctification is the process of us in our ignorance here and going to the journey here towards Jesus. That is the process. Rick Warren says this quote, "The closer you live to God, the smaller everything appears." The closer you live to God, the smaller everything appears. And I think Rick Warren probably finds it in Hebrews 12. If we read from where it says, and let, it's about four down, it says this, "And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith." When we can focus and look to the one who is holy, who is always good, who is always set apart, then everything, the ignorance that we used to live in, becomes so much smaller. But when we look to the world around us and we see the attractive nature of success and of money and of popularity and of going up the ladder in our jobs, and that's what has our attention, then this process of sanctification can be really difficult. But if we look to him, God, everything becomes smaller. I'm going to ask Noah to do me a favor. Noah's going to get a table for me, so I'll keep talking while he does it. I'm going to attempt this morning, church, to do an illustration. So this could go really, really well. or it could go really, really bad. But if there's thumbs up from the church, we'll go for it. Thumbs up? Great. So as I said, we are called to pursue a life of holiness. And so this glass container here, just here, mate, it'd be great. This glass container is us. This is us as our vessel. So our body, this glass container, sorry, church, if you can see it. This is us. And then we have some of our sins here. Sometimes when we are living in the ignorance and the ways that we used to live, it can sometimes creep up. So how do we genuinely talk about people when they're not there? Are we rude? Are we ignorant? What's the driving force? Is it money? Is it success? What do we do when we're by ourselves? How do we speak when we're with that friendship group? Do we God honor in friendship groups that don't love Jesus, or do we kind of just hide behind? How do we live whenever people from church aren't there? You see, so much of our lives can just be consumed by sin until one day we can look and our life, instead of being this clear and empty vessel, it becomes full of sin, and you can start to see the sin in our lives. But then you can say, but JT, look, there's loads of space left. There's surely loads of space. I could kind of fit God in and around me. Surely God could kind of fit in here. But then I would say the God that you serve and that I serve cannot stand sin. He cannot stand it. That's why Jesus had to go to the cross for you and me, because he is coming back for a spotless bride. And so he can't stand sin. So if this water represents holiness, right? This is the pursuit of following Jesus with everything we have. And we start to add it to our vessel, right? Nothing starts to happen at the start, right? We could get to about there. And we think, we're doing a wee bit. I'm trying to read my Bible. I'm trying to go after God with all I have. But like, there's still so much sin left in my life. There's nothing I can really do. But the process isn't one that is an overnight fix. Holiness is life's pursuit. And so when we start to add it and add it and add it and add it and add holiness, and the Holy Spirit starts to lead our life more and 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 more, then what happens is we become this holy, clean vessel. Because when we pursue holiness, sin cannot stay. And so God doesn't call us to be a life with sin around us and he can just kind of fit the gap. But this pursuit of holiness is everything that is in me that lived in ignorance cannot stay, because he cannot stand sin. Holiness is a pursuit in everything. We can't just say, oh, JT, I'll be holy when I come on a Sunday. Or I'll be holy when I'm with that church friend. Because as you can see with this representation, holiness and sin cannot be together. When we invite him in to fill us and change us, sin must flee. It takes effort. It takes time. It takes lifelong journey. But the pursuit of holiness will one day make us like that, clear and spotless before him, because he has saved us from our sins. It takes effort, but it's worth it, because in this pursuit of going after him, we will one day and even tomorrow look more like Jesus than what we do right now. My second point this morning is this: the fear of the Lord. You're thinking, oh, the fear of the Lord, is that? Surely that's not biblical. Let's go to 1 Peter 15 and 17. It says this: but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. This is the important part. Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. In reverent fear. We side note in this, me and Willie are reading a book called The Awe of God, and so me and Willie are wrestling with this, having conversations about the fear of the Lord. But our society and where we live has kind of stripped this biblical truth from us. Nobody talks about, nobody mentions the healthy fear of the Lord. Yet, an interesting fact, it says it over 120 times in the Bible about fearing God. And then you're probably thinking, but JT, is that not the Old Testament, you know, whenever God wasn't love or something, or whenever Jesus hadn't come, is that not then? No, actually it says it over 20 times in the New Testament also. And so God doesn't just waste his words in Scripture. And so if he says something, it is really important that we listen. And the fear of the Lord, guys, is not being scared of God. It is this, not this frightened, timid action towards God. Rather, it is a healthy respect for him. It is a knowledge and understanding of the power and his beauty and his majesty that is far bigger than us. Jeremiah 32:29-30 says this, I will give them singleness of heart and action so that they will always fear me, and that all will go well for them and their children after them. I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I will never stop doing good to them, and I will inspire them to fear me so that they will never turn from me. I will inspire them to fear me so that they will never turn away from me. Sounds really like hard in our head sometimes to understand it. But when we don't have a healthy fear and respect for our God, then sinning just becomes okay in our minds. When we don't understand how much it hurts him and how much pain it causes and how much he's disappointed in our sin, then sinning just becomes okay for us. But when we view him in a fearful, respectful manner, then sinning becomes hard. It actually says that he will inspire us to fear him, but not just because he wants to sit up there and think he can rule us, but so that they will never turn away from me. When we fear him and respect him, then we will not go far from God. See, if we have a better understanding of how God views sin, we would sin so much less. The fear of God has to lead to holiness. Psalm 86 verse 11 says this, teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Can't believe David shouted out our youth ministry. It's kind of good. But teach my heart me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Unite my heart to fear your name. Our hearts are pulled in so many different directions. From what our friends want us to do, from the pressure of parents, from the pressure of school, from the pressure of jobs, our hearts can just be pulled in so many directions. But this is, unite my heart to fear your name. And this would keep us grounded and close to a holy God. And you see, this wouldn't arise from fear in a way that we're scared of Almighty God, but it would arise from an understanding of the splendor, of the authority, of the reality of his judgment of sin would come a reverent fear. One way, if it still is sort of hard to grasp that I like looking at it, is try and think of somebody in your life who you really, really respect. Maybe a parent, maybe a friend, maybe a pastor, someone who you really respect and value. If you really, really respect and value something, you're not going to be afraid of them. You're not going to be fearful to approach them. But what you would be is you're so fearful that you would do anything that would separate at all your relationship. For me and my dad, I love my dad. We spend a lot of time together. He came to my football games and we constantly talk. But I am so fearful that I would do anything against him that would cause a sort of ripple in our relationship. My constant desire is to live a life that means that me and my dad can be so close. And if we fear God in a healthy way, we would understand how he views sin and how he views the way we live. And so instead of just turning our back to God and just sinning and living in our ignorance that we have done, we actually would do everything in our might to remain as close as possible. We would pursue holiness because we would constantly want to be with him. We would fear separating ourselves or being far from him. And you see, the fear of the Lord is so big. It's throughout all of Scripture. So I can't unpack it all this morning, but maybe we'll look at it again. But a reverent, holy fear of the Lord leads us to a holy lifestyle. We should fear that our actions would ever upset or separate us from the goal of our lives, which is becoming like Jesus. Fear him, not because of the punishment awaiting, rather because you understand how his heart is broken when we sin. When we fear him and we understand reverent fear, we start to hate the sin because he hates the sin, and we become obedient to him and we become holy as he is holy. The fear of the Lord is not a tough, difficult task for us to wrap our heads around. It is a beautiful understanding of the majesty of God. And when we can grasp this, and when we can understand this in a way, it will help us be holy. And my last point is this morning. Why is holiness important? Why is it important that I live a life that is holy? We go back to our core text this morning, 1 Peter 15 to 19 says this. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners in reverent fear. For you know that it is not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors. This is so, so important. But with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. And so simply, why is holiness important? Why is it so important that we just don't stay over here, we're saved, but just live in the ignorance of our sin? Why is it so important? Well, one, because he says, be holy because I am holy. And so one, God commands it. And two, it cost him everything. You cost him everything. I cost him everything. But with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect, it cost him everything. You see, we have to pursue this life of holiness because it is the only correct response to what he's already done for us. Live the perfect life. Died on the cross for you and I, so that holiness may be attainable for us. And so we then live as someone who is pursuing holiness. But JT, you may say, it takes a lot of effort. Don't know my schedule. Work's really tough. My family life's really tough. I understand that away. But it says, be holy because I am holy. But JT, it's difficult. It's really, really tough to do this. It is, guys, I'm with you. But he says, be holy because I am holy. And it will take effort and it will be difficult and it will cost us things. But simply put, Scripture says, be holy because I am holy. I don't love to take a moment to say, sometimes when we hear this phrase, we think this is so like far away. And it is, because we're sinful. But God would never put something in this to play a game with us. He wouldn't put something in Scripture to say, oh, where do you see them? I'll just like dangle a card in front of them. Rather, he says this because with the help of the Holy Spirit, this is attainable. He's called us to a life that is foreigners on earth, but in pursuit of holiness to become like Jesus. See, when we journey with the Spirit, and the Spirit towards holiness, it's like the water. It comes to our sinful lives and it just starts to take away and change us to become more like him. Be holy because I am holy. I know I need to come to an end here, like now, but I want to say this. Holiness sounds tough, and it is. It sounds like it'll cost a lot, and it does. But it is the most beautiful journey of our lives. Holiness is beautiful. It doesn't call us just to a chore or to a task, but it calls us to become like the one who gave everything for us. God is powerful, he's beautiful, he's majestic, he's unfailing, he's faithful, and yet we're invited to become like him in a process of sanctification. And so this isn't a chore, this isn't a lesson this morning, but rather this is an invitation into the greatest privilege of our lives, to become more like Jesus. Make me holy because I am holy. And if we return here before we just close, sometimes we can make decisions in moments in church like this, whenever someone's maybe preached a good sermon or there's been a really good worship song and you feel something. You've maybe made a decision, yes, I'm going to go after holiness. This is my life's mission and it's brilliant, right? But see, by, let's say, let's be generous, Wednesday, and we haven't met with God, then what can just so easy start to happen is our tank that was really full and really vibrant on Sunday morning when we encounter God can become just a wee bit empty. And then the ignorance that we sometimes go back to can just start to reappear and come back again. And suddenly our vessel that was clean and trying to pursue holiness is now contaminated by sin again. But this is why I'm saying in church, it's beautiful. This is really, really good. But this is only the changing room. It is so important for us, church, that we are not holy when we come here just, but we're holy in all we do. Because on Tuesday, whenever maybe something's drained a wee bit, we actually have the opportunity to go back to God in our quiet time, in our devotion. And we can ask, Holy Spirit, would you fill this vessel again? Would you help lead me towards holiness? And so this isn't just a process that happens when a sermon is on, but this is a process that can happen to your house, because the Holy Spirit will just come again and start to fill you and start to lead you towards holiness. And then your vessel just becomes overflowing. And then on Tuesday, this is attainable again. But it's not be holy when people are watching you. It's not be holy on a Sunday, but it's be holy in all you do. And so there has to be a constant return to the Holy Spirit to lead you into that. And this morning, some of you may be aware of the so-called ping pong balls, aware of the sins that you commit and that I commit, because I stand here before you as a sinner. And if that's newsflash to anybody, sorry. I get things wrong every day of my life. I am a sinful person, but I am on this journey of trying to go to him every day, confess my sins. I'm trying to return to this vessel again. And maybe you're aware of that. The Holy Spirit wants to lead you to holiness, but as Pastor Paul actually read this morning from 1 John, it's the confession of our sins that leads to that. And so for 1 minute, as the band start to come, I would love us to just close our eyes for 1 minute. What's your ping pong balls? What's the sin that you sometimes creep into on the Tuesday and to the Wednesday? And I would just love you in your own moment just to confess them to the Lord. Just hand them over to him and say, God, I want to pursue this holiness lifestyle. I don't want to be stuck in sin, so God, take this. As you're praying, let me remind you who God is. Joy Dawson says this, I've read it before. But when you see him face to face in all his awesome holiness and blazing glory, it will seem incredible to us that we ever had a casual thought in relation to him. He is holy. And when we can look at him this morning, church, and when we can look to him on Tuesday, and when we can look to him on Thursday and capture him, then holiness is easier. And so this morning what I want to do, if you do close your eyes for a bit of intimacy, I don't want to pray for everybody like one by one, don't worry. But what I do want you to do this morning, if you're sitting there with your eyes closed and you're thinking, yeah, I want to pursue this life of holiness. Like I want to go on this journey to become like Jesus. And on the 10th of March at 12:30, you're saying, yes, that's me, then what I would love you to do is stand. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front and get prayer, but I'm just going to pray a psalm over us as we stand. So if that's you this morning, I would like you to stand. I'm standing with you. Father God, you're an awesome, holy God, and you deserve a spotless bride. And so we thank you that the only reason the process of sanctification is possible is because of Jesus. But I pray, God, would you captivate every person who is standing's eyes this week, that they would view you a holy and awesome God, and it would lead them not to the ignorance of the sin, but rather this fresh renewing of holiness and the power of the Spirit, that they would constantly come and be filled and the sin would leave, because you cannot stand sin. Let me pray this psalm over us. Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. I will praise you, Lord my God, with all of my heart. I will glorify your name forever, for great is your love toward me. You have delivered me from the depths of from the realm of the dead. Let me say it one more time, then we're going to worship. Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. I will praise you, Lord my God, with all of my heart. I will glorify your name forever, for great is your love toward me. You have delivered me from the depths, from the realm of the dead. Thank you, Jesus. Help us this morning and this week pursue a life of holiness. Help us look more like your Son, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. And your love
is great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelim.com.